Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. A recent Time magazine cover focused on how Made in the USA is making a comeback. And now California manufacturers want to see an official label that declares Made in California. Senate Majority Leader Ellen Corbett, a Democrat from San Leandro, has introduced legislation to promote California manufactured products. If this bill passes, the governor's office would develop and adopt standards companies would have to meet to show a Made in California label on their products. Supporters of the bill include the electric car maker Tesla Motors and a group of Bay Area green tech firms and small business advocates. But some say that because products are made with parts from multiple continents, it will be incredibly difficult to decide what's actually made in California. So on today's Your Call, we continue our Agenda for a New Economy series by looking at what a label says about how a product is manufactured. Would a Made in California label translate to good paying jobs in California? What does this mean, actually? Today, we're joined by Katie Kwan, Associate Chair of the UC Berkeley Labor Center. Her areas of specialization are labor strategies in the global economy, policies that promote the rights of immigrant workers, and equity issues for women workers. And Katie joins us from Berkeley. Hi, Katie. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. We're also joined by Richard Walker, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Geography at UC Berkeley. Richard has written extensively about economic and urban geography and environmental policy. And Richard joins me here in studio. Hi, Richard. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rose. Always a pleasure.
Great to have you. Well, we did call Senate Majority Leader Ellen Corbett's office. Unfortunately, she could not join us and her staffers were not available. And so basically, we have to go by what's out there. And there's not that much info about this Made in California label. But overall, Richard, Senate Majority Leader Corbett says this will bring down the unemployment rate and create jobs in the state. What are your overall thoughts about a Made in California label?
Well, first of all, I doubt it'll have much of impact on creating jobs or bringing down unemployment. Look, it's an effort to brand California. And we know that corporate branding works. And I suppose, you know, Las Vegas branding works. And California branding might have some minor effect. But as you said, it's pretty complicated to trace the sources of products. So that raises one issue. And the other issue is, of course, what creates jobs and what creates decent jobs and what creates a healthy economy, all of which don't have much to do with slapping a label on saying Made in California.
I actually just got word that the senator will be able to join us near the end of the show, so we can ask her some of these questions, yes, at about 10:40 after. And Katie, what about you? What are your overall thoughts about a Made in California label?
Well, I think it's a good idea to think about marketing based upon good labor standards. Certainly consumers have shown over the past 20 years that they've been able to apply pressure on retailers like Nike and Gap and have basically forced those brands to adopt codes of conduct or better labor standards. As we've seen in the recent tragedies in Bangladesh, though, however, that those codes aren't quite good enough, and so there has to be stronger enforcement and higher standards. I think, though, that one important issue that needs to be raised that's not addressed in Senator Corbett's bill is the issue of labor standards. There is a little bit of, I think, one product has to be produced in California, but it doesn't really say what, you know, it doesn't really ensure that the product is produced under good and safe working conditions. And we've seen in California that even though the state generally has compliance with labor law, there are many, many violations in many industries. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even in the clothing industry in California, the Huffington Post ran a piece around the holidays, taking a look at a number of clothing manufacturers that were paying below the minimum wage, for example, not paying overtime. A lot of retailers like Burlington Coat Factory, Forever 21, TJ Maxx, Urban Outfitters, Wet Seal, on average they were being paid less than $6.50 an hour.
That's true. And not only is it in sectors where you have traditionally thought of sweatshops being present, but it also occurs in other places too. For instance, in the Bay Area, there were electrical contractors who weren't paying their workers overtime, and a lot of immigrant electrical workers got lots of back pay off of their complaint to the labor commissioner. You see it in the warehousing industry in Southern California. You see lots of unpaid overtime or very unsafe or unhealthy working conditions. So there is a lot to be said for improvements that need to be made in Californians labor standards, and that should be part of this effort as well.
Well, we'll definitely ask Senator Corbett about this when she joins us at about 40 after. But why don't we talk a little bit about what is actually made now in California? Richard, can you just give us a list? What is made here in the state?
Oh, well, California, of course, our biggest single industry is electronics. But there's a lot still made here. The official figures are about 11% of the output of California is in manufacturing. But that's actually a huge undercount because things like films are counted as entertainment or information. Construction and utilities are counted separately. If you add it all up, probably a quarter to 30% of the economy is making things. Just as we've always done. And even classical manufacturing, although it employs fewer people than it did and has been on the decline in terms of employment throughout the advanced industrial countries, in terms of output, it's still very, very strong, keeps going up, and we remain quite competitive in the world economy in many of our products. But there are products that are sort of global products like electronic equipment, which produced parts come from all over the place, assembly. We may only be designing them here. To things that are actually made here, like food products using California agricultural crops.
And there actually is another label called California Grown. And I understand that after this was implemented, the agriculture products, sales of agriculture products went up about 7 to 9%.
Oh, really? So, well, that's there's a sign that branding does work.
Right,
and they do a lot of advertising about California grown.
Right, like avocados and
exactly.
Artichokes, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, I think, how consumers, especially in California, have become more savvy about food labeling or organic products, and they're willing to pay more for things that are produced under ethical conditions. And I think it's important to think about labor in this context too, that it's not just the cleanliness or the way it's grown, but also the conditions of the workers who are producing the products.
Yeah, California has millions of really bad jobs, poorly paid. You don't have to go to Bangladesh to find bad jobs, as Katie was saying earlier. So it's really important, I think, we immediately rush to talk about consumption, which is what this brand in California is about, when the biggest issues are still distribution, that is wages versus profits, and production, global competitiveness.
Well, right. And so the question is, how would a Made in California label deal with that?
It wouldn't.
Well, it wouldn't as it's currently drawn up. We'll have to ask the senator. You know, the devil is always in the details. I think that there are ways to strengthen the current bill.
So how would you strengthen it? I mean, what would that look like to try to ensure ethical conditions?
Well, some of the problems have been mentioned already, like the content. And I mentioned this thing about the number of products produced. You can basically have, the bill says that one product needs to be produced in California, but I guess if you have 1,000 other products that you produce, they don't need to be made in California. And so this, the kind of branding that would attract consumers would be a little bit misleading if that wasn't sort of sussed out and detailed more carefully. You know, I think as far as labor standards, I think that, you know, we have to say that the products have to be produced in compliance with California labor law.
What is the state of California labor law and the people who actually enforce labor law?
Well, they're greatly overworked. The labor commissioner is someone who is experienced with dealing with sweatshops. She's Julie Sue, and she was one of the attorneys who brought the case against the Thai workers, or the company that was employing Thai workers in El Monte in 1995. So Julie has long experience, a lot of experience with these kind of cases, and she has used her office to do a thorough assessment of where the violations occur, and our research here at the Labor Center has helped a little bit with that assessment. And we've found that, as I mentioned earlier, that it is not just the traditional industries where we find violations, but there are lots of other violations that occur, and some have direct effect on workers, like unpaid wages or unpaid overtime, and others have more indirect effect. For instance, many employers are cheating workers out of workers' compensation insurance, and so when they get hurt on the job, they find that they have no insurance. Some employers are not paying health care as they should in San Francisco, for example. So there are many cases where California laws are not being adhered to.
And the best enforcers of labor law are actually unions. And the big problem that's often avoided in this discussion of manufacturing and competition and so on is that the biggest single source of the decline of the middle class in the United States is the busting of unions, the decline of unions, for a variety of reasons, and that, therefore the decline of the middling wage. And that's really where we've been hurt the most. California is incredibly productive. This is one of the greatest economies on earth. It has, we have more patents and more innovation than almost all countries in the world. And yet we're moaning about, we're not competitive, we have to brand or whatever it is. The real problem are twofold. One is stagnant wages due to the growing wealth of the rich and the weakness of the workers in the economy and the lack of unions, and recession, which is partly tied to distribution because the lack of taxes and tax income from corporations, from the wealthy, means that the state's constantly been cutting back. And one of the biggest areas of labor-intensive, good-paying work is state employment and local government employment. And that has been actually negative. Even as the economy has been reviving, that's been declining. And that just means makes unemployment worse and makes distribution worse.
Well, and then also, I mean, when you're talking about this Made in California label, what are you seeing, Richard, in terms of companies that are starting to manufacture in California? I mean, what realities do they face?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of loose talk about, you know, over-regulation and over-taxation, and it's bunk. Because companies are in California for the fantastic labor force, the infrastructure, the low, even for the California market, the access to the Pacific Basin and so on. California is one of the great production centers in the world. So that they don't actually face any problems due to California. The problems are mostly due with globalization of industry. What's happened, and this isn't just the last 10 years due to China, this has been going on since the 1960s with the growth, the recovery first of Germany and Japan, then the growth of East Asia, Southeast Asia, then China, now India, and so on. World industrialization means that things are made in more places. There's more specialization of things in different places, and that you have to compete in that kind of a world. And there are some products that are local, like you build houses locally. You don't import them. You can produce a lot of food, or certainly restaurant food, locally. On the other hand, there's a lot of stuff that's produced internationally. And given our transportation revolution with containers and IT and logistics management and so on, you have to compete in that kind of a world. And that means constant innovation, which California is actually very, very good at. But it's a constant battle.
Well, and the other thing is, in this Time magazine piece, how Made in USA is making a comeback, they took a look at Apple Computer deciding to assemble one of its Macs in the United States. And economists in the piece said that workers in China and India are demanding and getting bigger paychecks, in some cases, you know, $200 a month, while U.S. companies have won massive concessions from unions over the past decade. And suddenly the math on outsourcing doesn't look quite as attractive as it once did. What are your thoughts on that? Because we're hearing about this on a regular basis, especially when you look at the tragedy in Bangladesh.
There's something to it. I mean, there is a sense in which, say, the arrival of China on the world market is a kind of one-time thing. And then China enters into the same problems of upgrading its production, wages rising, and so on. And although they may be very, very low by comparison to American wages, it can make a difference. On the other hand, it is an international competition isn't about simply about cheap wages. Most outsourcing by U.S. manufacturers is to other high-wage countries. And that's what we forget about. It's to very high-end machinery coming out of Germany, or Mercedes-Benzes coming out of Germany, or high-end flat-screen displays coming out of Korea at fairly high wages. So it's really about the capacity of different countries, different cities, different companies to compete technologically, often using very skilled labor. And that's also, there's more skilled labor around the world, too. So we can't be trapped in this idea that what we're doing is competing against cheap labor. California is competing at the top end in so much of its production. And that's why we have to pay attention.
But also, isn't one of the other factors that wages, in fact, in the United States are not rising as quickly? And so we see auto manufacturers, for example, from Japan and Germany locating in the American South because they figure that wages are cheap there and they're union-free down there. And so, while the rest of the world has rising wages, the U.S. wages are stagnating, and that's part of the equation.
And if you go to the interior of California, wages are crappy. You know, we who live in the Bay Area think, wow, wages are tremendous, everybody's getting six figures. It's just not true. Wages are much lower in Southern California. They're awful in Central California. So there's plenty of low-wage work in things like agriculture or construction, parts of construction in California. And that we need to raise because those things can be done here. They have to be. They're very profitable, very dynamic sectors. And it's all about distribution in that case. And you can still compete with rising wages. This idea that you have to compete in a world of cheap wages is just a race to the bottom, and it's a fantastic – it's a total error. That's not where California is placed. That's not what California should be doing.
Richard Walker is Professor Emeritus in the Department of Geography at UC Berkeley. He's written extensively about economic and urban geography. Katie Kwan is Associate Chair of the UC Berkeley Labor Center, where she specializes in the global economy, policies that promote the rights of immigrant workers, and equity issues for women. And on today's Your Call, we continue our Agenda for a New Economy series by looking at a possible Made in California label. This bill was introduced by Senate Majority Leader Ellen Corbett, a Democrat. Democrat from San Leandro, and she'll be joining us at 40 after. So if you have any questions for her, we'd love to hear from you. This bill was approved by the Senate Business, Professions, and Economic Development Committee. Next goes to the Senate Judiciary Committee for consideration. And we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on a Made in California label? What questions do you have about it? And if you are working for a company that manufactures products in California, what are your thoughts on this? What do you think about what Katie and Richard are talking about in terms of distribution and labor practices? We'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And are you willing to pay more for products that are made in California? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. So, Richard, because we do spend a lot of time on wages, I mean, myself included, especially when you look at clothing made in places like Bangladesh, can you elaborate more on the comments you made earlier about distribution and why we need to spend more time focusing on that?
Well, if you look from the consumer side, we live in a kind of Walmart economy now. When Walmart, not surprisingly, arose in Arkansas, a state of terrible wages, and has spread from there. As wages have stagnated across the United States over the last 30, even 40 years, working class people have not had the money to pay for better quality and higher priced goods. And as Katie was saying earlier, you know, a lot of people who have money in their pockets, and a lot of Californians do, will pay more. I'll pay more for organic food, for local produce. I think that's terrific. I'm quite happy to do that, but that's because I have a nice professorial salary. But when your salary is terrible and the whole family's, you know, struggling to make ends meet, and there are millions of Californians in this situation, they're looking for the cheapest goods possible. And that may be a shirt imported from Bangladesh. And so that becomes rational. If you redistribute, get more money in the hands of ordinary people, ordinary workers, there would be more money to spend on products made with higher costs here.
You know, Rose, I wanted to also pick up on something that was talked about earlier when Dick was talking about not many jobs being produced in California as a result of this bill. About 20 years ago, when I was head of the union and the garment workers union in San Francisco, together with garment manufacturers, started a labor management partnership called Made by the Bay. And our effort was to try to get consumers to look at products made in San Francisco, in the San Francisco Bay Area, specifically apparel garments, and get them to buy apparel garments that were produced not just in the Bay Area, but also with high labor compliance. And I have to say that our experience was that it might have been good for some kind of boutique kind of production, but it really wasn't going to affect the industry in a big way because it was just too small of an effort. And so I think when we consider Made in California, we have to also look at what are the other things besides an ad campaign that will help drive manufacturing to California. And I have to, you have to look at industrial clusters. You have to look at suppliers. You have to look at all kinds of things to really have a concerted effort to drive industry here. Otherwise, an ad campaign alone isn't going to do it.
Well, in a few articles about this, they also mentioned tax breaks, right, to these larger companies like, for example, Tesla, the company that makes the electric cars. They support this bill.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. I think everybody wants a tax break, except the state of California right now is in a position where it needs more tax income. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of debate over that.
Right. And the question is, who gets the tax break, right? The larger corporation?
Yeah.
And what about the small one?
Yeah. Again, it's a distributional issue. California doesn't need generic tax breaks to have a successful economy.
And hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking today about a bill that would create a Made in California label. What do you think about this? What does this mean for labor conditions, working conditions, and wages? It's your call. I'm Rose Aguilar. We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on Local Public Radio, KALW, San Francisco. If you have a question, idea, or experience to contribute to today's conversation, 866-798-8255 is the number to call, 866-798-TALK. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, Holly Kernan will have a conversation with veterans about the VA system. More than a million vets are still waiting for their benefit claims to be processed. The average wait time, 273 days. We've heard these stories for so many years. So why is this still happening? And what, if anything, has changed under the Obama administration? Coming up on Thursday, we'll speak with progressive messaging expert Anat Shankar Osorio. What does it mean to actually win? And then on Friday, we'll speak with political sports writer Dave Zirin. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we continue our Agenda for a New Economy series by looking at a Made in California label. This legislation was introduced by Senate Majority Leader Ellen Corbett, a Democrat from San Leandro, and she'll be joining us in just about 10 minutes. So if you have any questions for her about this, we will ask her about what this means for working conditions and wages. We'd love to hear from you, 866-798-8255. If this bill passes, the governor's office would develop and adopt standards companies would have to meet to show a Made in California label on their products. So if you work for a company that manufactures goods in the state, what are your thoughts on this label? Would you pay more for products made in California? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. This bill is SB 12 and it goes to the Senate Judiciary Committee for consideration next. We're talking about it with Katie Kwan, Associate Chair of the UC Berkeley Labor Center, and Richard Walker, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Geography at UC Berkeley. And let's hear from Paul in Berkeley. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. You know, I'd pay more for products if the label said union made. I wouldn't care if it was made in California or Burma. Further than that, the more we know about the conditions of the food we eat and how it's produced and all the things we consume, the better. So I think the knowledge of, you know, how the workers are treated, what the wages are, et cetera, would be a crucial part of, should be a crucial part of our buying experience.
And do you have a specific question you'd like us to ask Senator Corbett?
No, I just want to push the label union made.
Yeah.
I think made in California or made in USA is silly. Nothing attracts me. Those are artificial little boundaries that don't mean that much to me.
No, that's true. We want to raise the standards of all the people of the world, including those in Bangladesh.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Katie, can you talk a little bit about that? What are your thoughts on Paul's comments?
Well, as somebody who used to sew in the union label into everything that I made, I used to sing the union label song in the union chorus. I think that that's great. Unfortunately, not enough products can be found today that are union made, and I think that this is a big dilemma. And less than 3% of the garments that are sold in the United States, would have a union label, and you're not going to be able to buy very many clothes at that rate.
Less than 3%.
Yes. So I think that it's a good sentiment, and I do know where our caller is coming from and would support him. But in some cases, that's not going to be really possible.
So, Katie, when you look at this issue, you know, made in California, trying to create jobs in the state, bringing down the unemployment rate, you talked about a few solutions earlier, but what else would you add to that list? Because, I mean, you know, we talk about these issues on a regular basis.
Right. Well, I think that there are jobs in California, but there's two questions. One is creating more jobs, and that's maybe attracting the kind of industries that would create jobs or doing certain incentives that would create jobs. But the other thing is to create quality jobs, to create jobs that pay a decent living wage and that, you know, come with benefits for medical care and retirement and so forth. And that also give workers rights, rights to stand up when on the job and say something to the employer if things aren't going right, which clearly the Bangladesh workers, for example, didn't have. So I think that it's a dual question there. One is attracting the industry, and the second is to upgrade and improve the bad jobs that we have here in California.
Absolutely. And also, you know, austerity plays a role in this right now. We're in a recession, and that's a huge part of, you know, we peaked at over 2.2 million unemployed people in California, and it hasn't gotten a lot better. We still have a much higher unemployment rate than the rest of the country. And one of the biggest areas of job loss is government employment. So austerity, which is the very popular policy here in the United States, in Europe, around the world, is a horrible mistake. And the people who are getting hit by government cutbacks, first of all, along with those who get benefits, we forget that when you cut back on schools, you lay off teachers. And some of your best jobs in terms of job security, unionization, benefits, and so on, are with the state and with local government. And when you cut those, you are losing some of your best jobs for working people. And so we've got to not just talk about the cheapest jobs, the people of Bangladesh, but our people at home and what kind of jobs, as Katie was saying, good jobs, quality jobs, that not only do we want to create, but we want to maintain in the face of an assault that's been going on for 30 years against working people, unions, public employment, the public sector, taxes, and so on.
Well, and don't you think that's why so many people are focusing on manufacturing, because those have been traditionally good paying jobs that provide benefits and some kind of pension?
Yes, but the data shows that while that's absolutely true, because those were the unionized sectors due to the union organizing of the 1930s and 40s, it is not true that those are the only good paying jobs. The majority of well paying jobs around the country now are in other sectors, in a very complex kind of division of labor. So we don't want to just be obsessed with manufacturing, as important as it is. We need to look across the board and not just say, oh, services, those are naturally cheap jobs. As we've seen in San Francisco, if you put in a living wage, even people in restaurants, in some of the lowest paid jobs, can do better. And one of the things we absolutely need is to keep raising the minimum wage for those worst service-type jobs.
That is Richard Walker, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Geography at UC Berkeley, Katie Kwan, Associate Chair of the UC Berkeley Labor Center. And if you'd like to join us to talk about Made in California labels and this claim that it would help the unemployment rate, it would bring more jobs to California, what are your thoughts on this? And Senate Majority Leader Ellen Corbett, a Democrat from San Leandro, who introduced legislation to promote California manufactured products, will be with us in just a couple of minutes. So if you'd like to ask her questions about this label or just job creation in general, now would be a good time to call. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. Now, we have a few emails. Lucy writes, back in the 70s, when I was part of a group that was unsuccessfully fighting the exportation of manufacturing jobs from California, my own wish, which I knew could not be fulfilled, but it seemed like it ought to at least be part of the conversation, was that we'd have legislation that targeted the real issue directly. The problem for local workers is not distant workers getting jobs, all things being equal. If they get jobs, they turn into a market for locally produced things. but that all things are not equal. I think the way to save local jobs is to insist that nothing be sold locally that is not produced under conditions equal to or better than our best conditions here. That's obviously not the direction we're going, but it's a better way to equalize markets than degrading American workers' conditions as we have been seeing. Richard?
Nicely put.
Well, I think I don't know whether it's possible at this point to equalize conditions. I mean, some people, when they use that term, mean that if we have a $10 minimum wage, people in Bangladesh should have a $10 minimum wage. And at this point, that's not possible. It might be possible in the future, and we should try to get there. But I think that what labor rights activists have been trying to advocate is for there to be core labor standards that are followed, including a living wage for whatever country we're talking about, and also labor rights to organize unions if workers wish. So equal wages is probably not in the near future going to happen.
Well, and you know, Katie, because you focus on equity issues for women workers, and so many of the corporations that employ women in Bangladesh, some of them have their headquarters here, for example, The Gap. And it's been interesting to listen to this conversation about the women in Bangladesh, mostly women, I should say. They're hardly focusing on wages. I mean, they're talking about safety standards, not really the fact that these people make women make $38 a month. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that they're both related. Safety standards are so bad, and the buildings have collapsed, and the fires have taken place because Bangladesh has been like a gold mine for the brands. Wages are low, standards are lax regarding building construction, and so the brands have flocked to Bangladesh, especially in recent years when trade was deregulated in 2005, and brands could go to any country they wished. And a lot of people thought that the brands would all go to China. And China is the biggest exporter of garments, but Bangladesh in the past few years has come up as second. And how, the reason it's come up as second is because the wages are so low. So $38 or $37 a month is a typical wage, whereas in a nearby country, Cambodia, which is the next lowest country, the wages are about $78 or $80 a month. So you can see that there is an extreme amount of exploitation going on in Bangladesh. And frankly, the brands have made a killing profit-wise.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about this next Tuesday on Your Call. But that piece of it, I don't know, it's been shocking that that hasn't really gotten as much attention as I thought it would. Just the fact that these are so horrific slave wages that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be doing a show about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, President Obama's new trade deal, which hasn't really been getting much attention, but we're going to do a show about that also in the near future. We've got a few more callers on the line, so let's hear from Dale in San Francisco. Hi, Dale.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I just wanted to tell a couple of stories. One is about 50 years ago, my dad and one of his best farmer friends, they were both farmers, we were in the Harris Club restaurant up in Lake Tahoe, and they stood up and walked out because there were only French wines. And they're California farmers. And then I was raised, and also Mom and Dad told me to never buy produce from Mexico. This is, again, 50 years ago. Things are changed now. Because thanks to the United Farm Workers, we had the threat of the United Farm Workers at that time. There were sanitary requirements in the fields of California, and there weren't any in Mexico. And you can imagine what happened if you were working 14 hours a day in a Mexican field at 110 degrees, that it was, you had to do your thing. And so anyway, I just want to say that this is not a new issue, and I'm getting really tired of it, actually.
Well, I mean, in the Central Valley, farmers are still dealing with these working conditions. I mean, they fought for a bill in the last session that would allow them to sue the employer who doesn't provide clean water or shade, and it wasn't signed by Jerry Brown. Richard?
Yeah, the condition of farm workers is still appalling, and it's still one of the biggest employment sectors in California with upwards of 500,000 workers a year, which is huge. It's as big as electronics in the Bay Area. Now, the other side of what the caller said was true, that California has always been the biggest market for its own wine, for example. The California wine industry developed primarily selling to Californians and then starting to export. And most good successful industries, including high tech. We were the biggest consumers of high tech, other than the Defense Department, in the early years. So I've studied the economic history of California, and one of the pillars of California's success has been a very well-paid labor force that meant we had high incomes, which meant we were a tremendous market, which meant we could support a lot of new firms, startup firms, and all different kinds of activity from retail stores to actually important manufactured products and technology products and so on. And as we've let our income stagnate, as slip in the middle and at the bottom, we've lost some of that impetus that we should get back.
Well, and Richard, a lot of people point to Apple Computer because it is one of the most profitable companies in the country, multi-billion-dollar corporation.
And has the biggest wad of money and offshore tax havens.
Right, and actually Apple and Exxon are always vying for the top spot. And then last January, when Steve Jobs was alive, he told President Obama, these jobs are not coming back to the United States. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't buy it. He's mixing various things up here. California, when we talk about electronics in California, we don't do much assembly or component production or anything. What we do is we design the stuff, we manage the overall product production process around the globe. But those are part of the manufacturing sector. There's a lot of mistaken identification, definition of jobs and sectors here. An industrial sector like electronics is extremely complex. And it's true that what we've kept is a lot of the high-end skilled jobs. That's still a huge number of well-paid people here. So to say these jobs will never come back is not true because we still have a lot of them.
That is Richard Walker, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Geography at UC Berkeley. Katie Kwan is Associate Chair of the UC Berkeley Labor Center. And now I would like to welcome Senate Majority Leader Ellen Corbett, a Democrat from San Leandro, to the show. Senator Corbett introduced legislation to promote California manufactured products through the Made in California label. Hi, Senator Corbett. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So we have received quite a few questions about what this label would mean for working conditions and wages. Can you address those two issues?
Well, the bill actually creates a Made in California program, which would be able to be used by manufacturers to promote goods. And in California, obviously, there's a certain cachet to things made in California. And also, as you know, we have quite a bit of innovation, cutting-edge technology, and this would allow us to market such goods. In turn, of course, if items are being made in California, promoted in California, being purchased because people want to buy California-made items, hopefully that in turn would create additional jobs in the state and prevent jobs from going overseas.
The U.S. Department of Labor late last year said it found widespread sweatshop-like labor violations in downtown L.A.'s Fashion District, resulting in a lot of back pay for about 185 employees. So, for example, if you had, clothing made in California and the label on it, how would the wages and the working conditions piece of that be dealt with?
Well, this bill does not address that. We work on those issues constantly in the state of California to make sure that we have, safe a working environment and that our workers are respected. But this bill just addresses the issue of promoting goods that are made in California. in my experience, people look for goods that are locally made. They want to spend their dollars on locally made items. So this is a bill that just addresses that directly.
But wouldn't it be an added incentive for people to buy in California if they knew that the products carrying this label were made in compliance with California labor standards?
Right. I think that's an excellent point. We do have strong standards. We work every day to protect those standards. We do have those that would like to weaken those standards, but that is not a part of the bill. But of course, that would be an added part of the bill if you could say these items are made in California and these workers are protected by strong labor laws.
And why isn't that part of the bill?
Because this is a bill strictly to deal with the issue of promoting California goods. We do have other bills that people work on that deal with those issues. So in the state, we don't have bills that deal with more than one type of issue at a time. So this is strictly a bill for promotion of California-made goods. But I like that idea. Obviously, if we have the ability to tell people that the added incentive to buy California is because these goods are made by workers who are protected by strong California laws, that's a great thing.
Senator, are you supporting any other kind of industrial policy? This has been a bad word in the United States for a long time, and yet Asian countries have very strong industrial policy, and we tend to do ours in a very ad hoc way. So this is a kind of an industrial policy. Are there other industrial policies that the Senate majority members are pursuing?
I really don't know what you're referring to, so maybe you could explain that a little
bit. Well, we have stem cell support for stem cell research. The U.S. government puts huge amounts into medical research, Department of Defense contracts. Those are all a kind of industrial policy.
Right. Those are
That's
federal
something
issues.
Targeted. But yeah, but as a state, can the state do anything targeted to supporting our industries other than branding?
Well, yes, of course we can. We have other legislation moving this year to promote California goods. In fact, I've introduced legislation that would allow if the state is going out to bid for energy projects, that if green technology manufactured in California is used, that there are bid preferences. So that's an example of how to promote locally made, not only locally made products, but items that are cutting edge and also are important for our environment.
Good. Very good.
And Senator, we've got a few callers or listeners who emailed us saying that I would love it if this was actually a union-made label more than a made-in-California label. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, personally, I would think that that's a great idea. I believe that the labor movement is very strong in California and it's very important, and that when workers' rights are protected, obviously that's an important goal. So unfortunately, I don't think we would be able to pass a bill that specifically would protect union jobs, but it's something that I definitely approve of.
And what is the status of this bill right now?
SB 12 has passed the first policy committee and is currently in appropriations, which is a committee that deals with the issues of the cost of such programs, and so it's sitting on the suspense calendar, and as the weeks go by, in the next few weeks, the suspense calendar will be read by the Appropriations Committee, and we're hopeful that they will send this bill out.
And Senator, do you have time to take a quick call from a small business owner in Watsonville?
Sure.
Okay, let's hear from Patty in Watsonville. Hi, Patty.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm a small woman-owned business in Watsonville, and navigating the state policies and departments to get the certification to be a woman-owned business in California is impossible. You can't do it. Not as a small business. You have to be a large business, have, you know, somebody just focused on that one thing. So my question is that going to be true also for this Made in California label? Is it going to have to go through that same department that regulates all of the certifications for women-owned business, you know, disadvantaged business? It's actually easier for me to go get the federal woman-owned business classification than to get the state woman-owned business classification.
Why is that?
You cannot believe the regulation that you have to go through. Plus, the department is underfunded, and it doesn't have enough people. They actually come to your business, and they spend a couple of days at your business. I mean, I'm it. You know, I have 5 employees and myself, and I'm a woman-owned business. I've been in business as a woman-owned business for 30 years, and I cannot get through the regulation to become a woman-owned business in the state of California. Plus, it is only good after you spend a ton of money and a lot of time getting that certification. It's only good for 1 year, and every year you have to keep doing it again.
Wow.
It's crazy. Well, it's the most crazy. You guys should do a little expose on.
You know, it would be a great show to talk about what is it like to open a small business in the state. Senator Corbett, were you able to hear Patty?
Oh, of course. Patty, I'd like to make a couple suggestions to you. And, you know, obviously, your experience has not been a good one. And there are rules and regulations set up because we, of course, want to make sure that people who shouldn't have the designation of a small woman-owned business to take advantage of something, that those that truly deserve to be able to take advantage of that. So I would like to make a suggestion to you. First of all, that shouldn't be happening to you, and I have heard this complaint before, and I, in fact, have worked with small businesses in my district directly myself to assist them in trying to, get through the red tape. So I want to make a suggestion. If you haven't done this already, please contact your local senator or local assembly member and make them very aware of what has happened to you so that they have an opportunity to advocate on your behalf and also work with me and others to try to change that process. I encourage you to do that if you haven't done that already. And thank you for telling your story.
And Senator, we have just about 30 seconds left. How would this label be implemented?
The Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development would administer the program. And what I want to tell the small business owner who just called in, what is important is we, as part of this process, we'll convene a group of stakeholders so that they can work with us to ensure that the process is an easy one
and
to take part in.
There will be a level playing field for the small business owner like Patty and the big one like Tesla?
We are absolutely supported by small business. Small Business California is our major sponsor, and also other small business associations are in support of this measure.
Senate Majority Leader Ellen Corbett, a Democrat from San Leandro, Katie Kwan, Associate Chair of the UC Berkeley Labor Center, and Richard Walker, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Geography at UC Berkeley. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you. And thank you for your emails and phone calls. Sorry we couldn't get to all of you. I'm Rose Aguilar at Your Call. What services are available for returning veterans? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation about how vets are navigating the VA system. More than 1 million veterans are currently waiting for their benefit claims to be processed. The average wait time, 273 days. We've heard these stories for years, so why is this still happening? President Obama has promised to revamp what he calls a broken bureaucracy. So what has changed under his administration? It's Your Call with Holly Kernan and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.